Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
I'm here with my co-host, Raven.
What's up, guys?
This is part two of Automade. Oh, my gosh. This is part two of Automotive Options from back in the day. I don't know where I got automotive from. Right, I'm moving that over there. All right, picking up from last time. Electric windows, a standard feature in most vehicles. But those weren't even introduced as an option until the late 1940s in the Packard 180 series. And these electric windows used hydraulics to power them. So it wasn't electric motors. It was an electric motor powering a hydraulic cylinder. So they could probably like chop your hands off. In 1941, Lincoln limousines had the same hydraulic window systems in them. They used hydraulic pumps. By the end of the 1970s, power windows were standard in most cars. I couldn't find an actual vehicle that it was like first standard on.
Well, that's probably tied in with mine.
What's
yours? So I picked doors when they first became standard, and the reinforced doors, you know, where you get that extra gap, weren't even like standard in vehicles until the 1960s.
Really?
So that's probably right when they started using the
electric windows?
Yeah, the electric window system.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Because because back in the day, doors used to be like so thin you could grab both sides of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, they wouldn't even, and they still had the where the doors would fold out.
Oh yeah, the suicide doors?
Yeah, those were standard. Those were standard in most doors, in most cars, up until 1912s when they started, where they switched where the hinge was and we have our doors today.
They were so cool when they opened backwards, but man.
It was a safety thing.
Yeah, imagine one of those opening where you're going down the road. It just rips the door off.
Yeah.
Next one I wrote down was a roof. Roofs didn't always come on cars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The first one didn't have a roof, didn't have nothing. It didn't even have four wheels.
How many did it have?
It had three.
What?
Yeah, it had like a tiller to steer the front. But anywho, yeah, so the roof wasn't until 1905 when Cadillac introduced a closed roof design. Still made out of fabric, but it actually like protected you from the elements. Mm-hmm. And I guess the windows went all the way up and sealed with the roof. Because before you might have had doors, but not windows and all that. This is also pretty weird with roofs. First car to have a folding metal roof was the 1935 Peugeot 402 Eclipse. It's pretty early for, you know, a metal convertible.
Yeah.
You know when the first actual steel roof car was? Like a standard, how they all are?
When was that?
Same year, 1935.
Really?
Yeah. 1935, GM introduced the all-steel top. Before this, they were made out of a mix of wood and vinyl and leather and all that stuff. But it's crazy.
And somebody was like, hey, why don't we try this?
Yeah, we're making the rest of the car out of metal.
Well, speaking of things that didn't come in cars, like common sense, airbags. Dad didn't even get introduced to vehicles until the 70s. And then, even then, it wasn't by law mandatory for all cars until 98, the year I was born.
Jeez.
Literally, I didn't think it was, you know, that, I guess, young of a feature.
Yeah. So going off on a tangent, so that was only in cars. It wasn't mandatory until 95 or 96 in pickup trucks, and it was only the driver's side.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. For some reason, trucks...
We don't need to save anybody else in the vehicle as long as the driver's okay.
Well, that's who's driving it. That's whose fault it is.
Make sure they stick around for the insurance claim.
Right? But yeah, for some reason, I mean, it kind of makes sense, mm-hmm. but car safety and light truck safety,
yeah,
the trucks are always like years behind, which yeah. kind of makes sense. But yeah, looking at it, it's like, man, if you do one, why don't you do them both?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Was that it for...
Yeah, that's it for safety.
Next safety thing. I guess we're just on a safety topic today.
Yeah, safety tangent. I mean, we do have a little one, so car safety was our first thing when we put her in the vehicle.
Top priority. First one, taillights. They weren't introduced until roughly 1915. I couldn't find out what vehicle first came with a tail light or a brake light. I think people would just like hang a lantern off the back or something. Back to tail lights. So the third brake light, the high mount tail light,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, that first showed up as an option in 1968 for the 68 Ford Thunderbird. In 1986, the third brake light was required in cars by law. And in 1993 or 94, it was for light pickup trucks. That's why you see like the old Toyota trucks, and sometimes the third brake light is like just on top of the cab.
Yeah.
It's because of that. Instead of making a new cab, they just... And Dodge Dakotas, they had it on the tailgate.
Yeah. I have a thing to add with the light bulbs. The light itself didn't come standard in vehicles until 1939, when General Electric developed the first sealed beam lamp for an automotive. And they didn't come standard in all vehicles until 1940. So a whole year later, the government had to put in and said, hey, we need to put these in all of the vehicles. Not just certain ones, but all
keep
of
keep seeing
them.
You driving around at night.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is because of the law, they made it very specific that all the cars had to have 2 7-inch round sealed beam headlights. So the big Herbie the Love Bug lights, that's where that came from. Before then, they had 2 different type of lanterns that you'd hang on your vehicle, one for the front and one for the back. The front ones, fueled lamp, it was a carbine lamp that was for the headlights, and then you had oil lamps for taillights.
Jeez.
So, you know, if it was a windy or rainy day, imagine having to get out there and light
those
lamps.
Trying to strike a match.
To light your lantern so you can see, what, maybe 2 feet in front of you?
Maybe.
If that, because lantern power isn't nearly high.
No. Yeah, another safety thing, seat belts. The first lap belt patent was in 1885. I thought that was super early, but that was just for a lap belt. It was patented by Edward Claghorn. I guess that's how you pronounce that. So with seatbelts, they were not common until the mid-50s. They were still an option.
Yeah.
Became law in 1968, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the law only required the front seats to have the seatbelts. Back seats still didn't need seatbelts.
What?
Now, the first modern, like, 3-point seatbelt, you know, the one that goes over your shoulder?
Yeah.
Volvo patented that. Patented that? Volvo patented that.
Yeah.
The 3-point design. But, believe it or not, they came up with it, and they made it free for everyone to use.
Oh, did
it? Yeah, because they figured it'd save lives, and I think it does save lives.
It definitely saves lives. So remember to wear your seatbelts, kids.
And shout out to Volvo for making it free, because like they could have made millions off of that.
While we're on the topic of safety, let's talk about some mirrors, the rear view and side mirrors. While we're at it, so funny thing about it, rear view mirrors didn't become a standard part of your vehicle until the 70s. Well, you had the side mirrors were first used in 1914.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, literally, you had...
60-year gap.
60 years gap to put that extra little mirror in there so you can see behind you.
I mean, hey, don't need to know where you've been.
Just need to know where you're heading.
Exactly.
But what's even crazier is that when they were doing that, they also decided while they were adding in the rear view mirrors, that they were also adding headrest, the safety glass windshield, and the padded dashboard, all made its big debut in the 1940s. That's when had the first automotive car put together, and it had the rear view side mirrors.
And it wasn't just a steel dash to hit your head on.
Pretty much. They put all the bells and whistles and said, here you go.
I do admire a steel dash, though. Every now and again, you'll see a car with a steel dash, you'll be like, man, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, your pickup also doesn't have airbags either, so.
No, you don't.
You've got the bare minimum.
It didn't come with it.
Features.
It's old. It didn't come with them. I do have to say, taking out an airbag, I have done it in other vehicles. It is the most nerve-wracking thing. Trying to take a steering wheel. You disconnect the battery, you touch the leads together, and you're still like, please don't explode. Yeah. Please don't explode in my face.
Jeez.
So another safety thing, automatic brakes. So like, you know, if someone stops short and you're not paying attention, the car hit brakes for you.
Yeah.
So first production model that had that was in 1996. Mm. It was a Mercedes. I couldn't find what Mercedes model. It might have been a few of them. But yeah, 96. The first vehicle that had automatic brakes as standard was 2003 Honda. It was, I guess it was all the Hondas or most of the Hondas in 03 came standard with it. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration finalized a bill mandating that all vehicles have automatic braking by September of 2029. So that's going to be coming in a few years.
One more topic, and it is about four-wheel drive. So the first concept for four-wheel drive was patented in 1893. I didn't think it was that old.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I thought this was something for, like, the new pickup trucks and, like... But, I mean, I guess people have always wanted to go off-road. There were
vehicles they didn't
before
even,
there were even roads.
Yeah, back in the day, like, if you bought a Ford or Chevy pickup truck, you'd have to bring it somewhere else. And they would make it four-wheel drive. They had conversion kits.
Yeah, yeah. No, the first one for a pickup was actually in 1946, was the first standard production of a four-wheel drive.
Really?
1946. It was for a Dodge Power Wagon.
Hey!
Yeah. Yeah.
There used to be a guy who had a yellow Power Wagon riding around. That thing was so neat. And I think they made them. I think they made those Power Wagons from like the 30s up until I think the 60s without changing them. I might be wrong.
I
might be completely wrong.
No need to fix something that ain't broken.
They had a long run though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my last topic, less on the safety, but I guess it still is kind of on the safety. Cup holders.
Ah, yeah.
Cars didn't always have them. So cars had some form of cup holders as early as 1955, but they were only good if you weren't moving. So it'd be like a little ring that you place a cup on, but if you're going down the road, you're going to be wearing your soda.
And it was probably hot coffee back in the day.
Yeah. So, let's see. Yeah, there really wasn't a whole lot on cup holders. The first vehicle that actually have usable cup holders... mass-produced, came with usable cup holders, was the 1983 Dodge Caravan or the Plymouth Voyager. It's the same thing with a different name.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the 80s.
Took them till the 80s to figure out a cup holder.
Yeah, and I think way back in the 50s and 60s, I think there was a Lincoln or a Cadillac that came with like metal shot glasses not for driving.
Oh yeah.
But they had little magnets. You'd open up the glove box and they would magnetize to the glove box.
I mean, that would make everything way easier. That'd definitely make finding sippy cups in the car easier if we could magnetize her cup to the holder.
Yeah. You need a patent that. So I guess that's all we had for part two of stuff that is in most vehicles. Oh no, it's over here.
That's it for part two of automotive options from back in the day. We covered, safety and random bits and
AC, brakes, everything.
Everything.
Not everything. But most stuff.
Important
it's crazy.
Stuff.
Thanks for tuning in to WVFF 97.7. This is Joe at the Toolbox. Thanks to my co-host, Raven.
Until next time, keep it cranking.
Make sure to change your oil.
We thank you for staying tuned to the Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.